Shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Blueprint for Life, the Awakening. And that was the title of that song as well. Coming to you a little bit later today, but it's all good. We're still enjoying the Most High on this lovely Shabbat. It's set apart, the Kodesh day that this is. Let's get ready to go before our Abba in prayer.
Oh.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. We're grateful for life, health, strength, and another opportunity to get it right. We acknowledge you to direct our path. Check our hearts and our minds. We cleanse our minds of our thoughts, bitternesses, angers, attitudes, sinful thoughts. And we come against every spirit of oppression and depression. May my brothers and sisters begin to realize that these thoughts that are attacking their minds are not necessarily their own, and not to fall into guilt and shame, but to repent and move forward. We set our affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. Touch my family throughout the four corners of the earth, that we'll be given strength to go a little bit further in this walk and not just pack it in and shut it in and wait on you in fear, but liberate ourselves from bondage of fear and have life that more abundantly, the gift that you promised. So in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, that we pray, hallelujah, hallelujah. Again, this is the day that the Most High has made. I am V, the preacher. You're tuned into Babylon Talk Radio. This is Blueprint for Life. I'm not going to delay the time. I want to get into some conversations after this reading. So I'm trying to make sure my throat is clear. I'm going to do a brief reading out of the Testament of the 12 Patriarchs, which is a book of the final writings of the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel to their children right before their death. They always know. And today we're going to go into the book of Naphtali, the eighth son of Jacob and Bilhah. And then after that, we're just going to have a brief discussion about where we may be in Bible prophecy right now by going into the Apocrypha and looking at the book of Revelations, of course, as we're living in the time of reveal, time of also repentance and getting it right, sincere repentance. Okay, so I'm going to start the Testament of Naphtali. And the introduction reads like this, the copy of the Testament of Naphtali. And by the way, you can Google DuckDuckGo, the Testament of the 12 Patriarchs, and then scroll to the book of Naphtali if you'd like to follow me. It's a very short reading, and we'll have minimal commentary. The copy of the Testament of Naphtali, which he ordained at the time of his death in the 130th year of his life. That was about the time that all 12 of the brothers passed away at about 120 or 130 years. Verse 2, when his sons were gathered together in the seventh month on the first day of the month, while still in good health, he made them a feast of food and wine. And after he was awake in the morning, he said to them, I am dying. And they said, they believed him not. Pretty much they looked at him and said, there's nothing wrong with you. And as he glorified the Lord, he grew strong and said that after yesterday's feast, he should die. And he began then to say, hear me, my children, you sons of Naphtali, hear the words of your father. I was born from Bilhah because Rachel dealt craftily and gave, and gave Bilhah in place of herself to Jacob. But she put her manservant in there, and Jacob thought, I guess it was really dark in that tent, that it was his wife, Rachel, but she slipped Bilhah in there. And Bilhah, she conceived and bare me upon Rachel's knees. Therefore, she called my name Naphtali. For Rachel loved me very much because I was born on her lap. And when I was still young, she was wont to kiss me and say, may I have a brother of thine from mine own womb like unto thee. When also Joseph was like unto me in all things according to the prayers of Rachel. So now, verse 9, my mother was Bilhah, daughter of Ropheus, the brother of Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, who was born on one and the selfsame day with Rachel. And Ropheus was of the family of Abraham, a Chaldean, fearing, freeborn, and noble. And he was taken captive and was bought by Laban. And he gave him Unna, his handmaid, to wife. And she bore a daughter and called her name Zilpah, after the name of the village in which he had been taken captive. And next she bore Bilhah, saying, my daughter hasteneth after what is new. For immediately that she was born, she seized the breast and hastened to suck it. The constitution of man. And I was swift on my feet like the deer, and my father Jacob appointed me for all messages. So we see here that Naphtali is very fast. All these brothers had amazing strengths. That's never highlighted. They were strong enough to take down giants and lions and bears and things like that, of the sort. And so Naphtali's strength was his speed. So Jacob appointed him to be the messenger of the family. He was their DHL, a designated courier. For as the potter knoweth the vessel how much it is to contain and bringeth clay, accordingly also doth the Lord make the body after the likeness of the spirit. And according to the capacity of the body doth he implant the spirit. I read this once before. I believe it was in 4th Ezra about when a spirit is taken from the body and it goes to its waiting place. You know who that spirit, that soul is, because it's fashioned after the body. So the precept for that is in 4th Ezra, and we see it here in Naphtali. The spirit and soul is shaped to fit the housing that it's going to be formulated in. So it takes on that exact character and shape. This is how we still will know each other when we get new bodies, new glorified bodies, because it's fashioned after the soul and spirit, which does live forever. So I thought this was very interesting when I was reading this. I'll read that again. Also doth the Lord make the body after the likeness of the spirit, and according to the capacity of the body doth he implant the spirit. And the one doth not fall short of the other by a third part of a hair, meaning there's no difference between that spirit and soul and that body. So when that body, that outer shell goes back to the dust, that formation of that person still exists. For by weight and measure and rule was all the creation made. And as the potter knoweth the use of each vessel, what it is meet for, so also doth the Lord know the body, how far it will persist in goodness, and when it beginneth in evil. For there is no inclination or thought which the Lord knoweth not, for he created every man after his own image. For as a man's strength, that's what Satan hates and is trying to do, is emulate the Father with this type of information and knowledge about everybody on the earth. Hence, they're using their artificial technology, artificial intelligence, transhumanism, cyborg 2.0. This is the goal. It takes us back to Isaiah, the 14th chapter. I continue, I digress. For as a man's strength, so also is his work. As his eyes, so also is his sleep. As his soul, so also is his word in the law of the Lord, or in the law of Satan. And as there is a division between light and darkness, between seeing and hearing, so also is there a division between man and man, and between woman and woman. And it is not to be said that the one is like the other in face or in mind. There is the difference between women and men. And you got Supreme Court justices that can't define a woman for you, but you place them there. Most High has made it clear there are no fluid genders, whatever all this other crap they're coming up with. There's only man, woman, they're all different. It is not to be said that the one is like the other, either in face or in mind. For God made all things good in their order. The five senses in the head, and he joined on the neck to the head, adding to it the hair also for comeliness and glory. Then the heart for understanding, the belly for excrement. Let me go through these real slow, what Naphtali is revealing to his sons. This is some serious physiology and biology right here. He joined on the neck to the head, adding to it hair also for comeliness. It's for your beauty, and it's a woman's glory. Your heart is for understanding. Your belly for excrement. The stomach for grinding. The windpipe for taking in the breath. The liver is for wrath. The gall for bitterness. And your spleen is for laughter. The reins for prudence. And the muscles of the loins for power. That's why it's very important to keep your core strong. All of your power comes from that muscles of your loins. That's why he tells us to gird your loins with truth. For power, the lungs for drawing in the loins for strength and so forth. So then, my children, let all your works be done in order with good intent in the fear of God. And do nothing disorderly in scorn or out of its due season. For if thou bid the eye to hear, it cannot. So neither while ye are in darkness can you do the works of light. Can't be sinful talking about I'm going to give my way out of this sin. Now you got to repent. We got a lot of people that get involved in charity, are going to church, are trying to talk nice to people because they are very displeased with their life because they know that they're in torment because they're living in sin, a sinful lifestyle that they've taken on. Let's move forward to an exhortation to do the will of God from Naphtali to his sons. Be ye therefore not eager to corrupt your doings through covetousness or with vain words to beguile your souls. Covetousness, lusting after stuff, wanting this, I need this, got to have this. And vain words, cursing people, talking out the side of your neck. All this stuff destroys your soul. I'll move forward. Because if you keep silence in purity of heart, you shall understand how to hold fast the will of God and to cast away the will of Satan. Sun and moon and stars change not their order. So do ye also change not the law of God in the disorderliness of your doings? The Gentiles went astray and forsook the Lord and changed their order and obeyed stocks and stones. Spirits of deceit. So this is wood and stone being spoken of here too. The Gentiles, they worship Christianity, the cross, and Mecca, the stones. Spirits of deceit. It's all deceitfulness. That's why it was put here in America for the slaves, to still keep them oppressed and keep them from coming back to serve their God through the statutes, laws, and commandments, and therefore keeping us in sin, therefore keeping us to be used. But ye shall not be so, my children, recognizing in the firmament, in the earth and in the sea, and in all created things, the Lord who made all things, that you become not as Sodom, which changed the order of nature. So naturally, live that lifestyle of sodomy. He's warning his children, do not change things to cause it to go against nature. In the like manner, the watchers also changed the order of their nature, whom the Lord cursed at the flood, on whose account he made the earth without inhabitant and fruitless, all because, let me say that again, in order of their nature, the fallen angels, the watchers, they were supposed to watch over the children of men from the heavens. But he cursed them with a flood because they came down and had sex with the women and animals and produced all types of ungodly things to the point where the earth had to be destroyed without inhabitant, and he made the earth fruitless. What people don't tell you is that this era is the era that begat creatures that the Most High didn't create, such as dinosaurs. They're not millions of years old. They're only thousands of years old, just like this earth. 6,000 years. And guess what? We're vastly approaching the 7,000 year, which represents the new millennium, where the whole earth will be at peace. It's a rest. It's a Shabbat. It's coming. And after that 7,000 years, of course, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Nevertheless, it's only been 6,000 years, and the tainting from the watchers is what brought these vicious animals that the Most High didn't create. And you'd be surprised to know there are many species of people and animals that the Most High didn't create that's roaming the earth because man is playing God, splicing genes and making everything genetically modified, including the human mind, the human brain. First, you were going to the store to buy genetically modified organisms, genetically modified organisms of fruit and vegetables. Well, now by willingly allowing them to put a modified ribonucleic acid, which is mRNA, to go inside your DNA and penetrate it with all sorts of chemicals and living pests and dangers and parasites, that's what I want to say, inside this, you're being changed from within. You're rotting from within, so therefore it's tampering with your soul and spirit. This is self-appointed slaughter. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Let's talk about Naphtali's prophecy concerning his posterity, and it will be finished. These things I say unto you, my children, for I have read the writings of Enoch, that ye yourselves also shall depart from the Lord. He was telling his kids that I have seen that our people are going to depart, walking according to the lawlessness of the Gentiles. And true enough, that's the time we're living in. And ye shall do according to all the wickedness of Sodom, time we're living in. And the Lord shall bring captivity upon you. This is our seventh, this is our last and final captivity. And there shall ye serve your enemies, and ye shall be bowed down with every affliction and tribulation until the Lord have consumed you all. And after you have become diminished and made few, you shall return and acknowledge the Lord your God, and he shall bring you back into your own land according to his abundant mercy. But before I go to verse 4, let's look at that. God is wroth with us because we have turned our back on him and the commandments. And even now when we tell our people that we are the Israelites and we must turn back to him by keeping his commandments, because they've been tainted by religion and Christianity, which comes from the Vatican. Protestant church comes from the Catholic church. Catholic church is calling in all Protestants and destroying the religions because Catholic church is responsible for Islam, and they created Islam, and they also helped to create the style of Christianity and then all these other religions, Hindu. You'll see they all worship a mother God. This is how they're going to be able to show everybody that we all worship the same God under different names. And that paganism and worshiping of wood and stone, the Most High is calling us away from and saying worship him and him only. And the way you do so is by obedience through keeping of his commandments. I'm looking at Naphtali prophesying to his children about all the children of Israel being whittled down to a very few. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, your so-called Christianity. But narrow is that path that leads you to the kingdom. And he said that narrow part, there's going to be few that find it. He's prophesying 4,000 years ago about a world full of sodomy, abusing the statutes, laws, and commandments, lawlessness. He's saying that, and he's warning his children. Don't get weary and well-doing, brothers and sisters, in keeping these commandments. I know sometimes you get tired, it gets rough, it gets hard. You wonder what you're doing this for. But wait, payoff. Well worth it. There is no life better than serving the Most High and having someone to be able to speak to you and give you clear-cut direction. Don't let your temptations or your imaginations make you think there is a better life now or that's coming than what Yah has planned for you. And the way he takes care of those, according to Deuteronomy 28, that keep the commandments in this captivity, you got a hedge around you, and he shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. It takes a real man or woman to live for God, the one true, only, most high Yah. Let's go back to verse 3. He said, and after you become minished and made few, children of Israel, after there's just a few of you throughout the four corners of the earth, you shall return to acknowledge the Lord your God, and he shall bring you back into your own land according to his mercy. And it shall be that after that they come into the land of their fathers, they shall again forget the Lord and become ungodly. And the Lord shall scatter them upon the face of all the earth until the compassion of the Lord shall come, a man working righteousness and working mercy unto all them that are far off and to them that are near. Naphtali's visions. For in the 40th year of my life, I saw a vision on the Mount of Olives on the east of Jerusalem, that the sun and moon were standing still. And behold, Isaac and the father of my father said to us, run and lay hold of them, each one according to his strength. To him that sees it will the sun and moon belong. And we all 12 children, all of us ran together. And Levi laid hold of the sun, and Judah outstripped the others and seized the moon. And they were both of them lifted up with them. And when Levi became as a son, a certain young man gave to him 12 branches of palm. And Judah was bright as the moon. And under the feet were 12 rays. And the two, Levi and Judah, ran and laid hold of them. And lo, a bull upon the earth with two great horns and the eagle's wing upon his back. And we wished to seize him, but we could not. Joseph came, and he seized him and ascended up with him on high. And I saw, for I was there, and behold, a holy writing appeared unto us, saying, the Assyrians, the Medes, Persians, Syrians, Chaldeans shall possess in captivity the 12 tribes of Israel. Talking about our captivities, we were, Egypt. We went from Egypt to, I believe, Assyria, this Medo-Persia, and then Babylon, and then Greece, and then Rome. And now our final captivity. I think I got them all in there. And again, after 7 days, I saw our father Jacob standing by the sea of Jamnia, and we were with him. And behold, there came a ship sailing by without sailors or pilot. And there was written upon the ship of Jacob. And our father said to us, come, let us embark on our ship. And when we had got on board, there arose a vehement storm and a mighty tempest of wind. And our father, who was holding the helm, departed from us. And we, being lost with the tempest, were borne along over the sea. And the ship was filled with water and was pounded by mighty waves until it was broken up. And Joseph fled away upon a little boat. And we all were divided upon 9 planks. And Levi and Judah were together. And we were all scattered unto the ends of the earth. Then Levi girded about the sackcloth, prayed for us all unto the Lord. And when the storm ceased, the ship reached the land, as it were in peace. And lo, our father came, and we all rejoiced with one accord. These 2 dreams I told to my father, and he said to me, these things must be fulfilled in their season, after that Israel has endured many things. Then my father said to me, I believe God that Joseph liveth, for I see always that the Lord numbers him with you all. Joseph knew from his dream that his son Joseph was still alive. At this time, they did not know he was over in Egypt running things. He caused me also, therefore, to weep by these words, and I burned in my heart to declare that Joseph had been sold. But I was scared to tell my father that my brothers had sold Joseph. And lo, my children, I have shown unto you the last times how everything shall come to pass in Israel. Do you also, therefore, charge your children that they be unified to Levi and to Judah, for through them shall salvation arise unto Israel, and in them shall Jacob be blessed. For though their tribes shall God appear dwelling among men on earth to save the race of Israel, and to gather together the righteous from among the Gentiles. If you work that which is good, my children, both men and angels shall bless you. and God shall be glorified among the Gentiles through you, and the devil shall flee from you, and the wild beasts shall fear you, and the Lord shall love you, and the angels shall cleave to you. This is him talking to us in this remote generation if we keep the commandments in the midst of all this peril and tribulation. This is the promise of the Lord, the Most High Yah, for those that wait on him patiently and keep the commandments. Don't get weary in keeping Shabbat, teaching, preaching, telling your family, telling your outlaws, turn the other cheek, follow in peace with all men. Stand away from adultery and fornication, not lying, not being covetous, being content with the things that you have, casting down your imaginations, transforming yourself by the renewing of your mind. These are the assurances that you have. The devil will flee from you. That's number one. You should want that. Well, you can walk through the streets of 2022 and rebuke the enemy. It says wild beasts will fear you, the Lord will love you, and the angels will cleave to you. That's having a bodyguard, 24-hour protection all day, every day, when you are a commandment keeper. But then he also said, as a man who has trained a child, well is kept and kindly remembered. So also for a good work, there is a good remembrance before God. Do the work, do good works, and you'll be able to stand before the Father with him proud. But him who doeth not that which is good, both angels and men shall curse you. Somebody come to you, man, always having some issues and problems. It's because you can't help them and save them. And God shall be dishonored among the Gentiles through him. You know, it's a disservice for a believer to break the commandments and go sin with the sinners, hang out with the sinners and start acting like them and doing what they do, because you bring shame to the kingdom when you do that. There must be a separation between us and the world, what they do, how we do. You can't even sit up here and be breaking bread with them like that and telling their dirty jokes. I'm listening to their dirty jokes on what they think is so funny, slapping knees. You represent the kingdom now. Him that doeth not that which is good, angels and men will curse you, not cleave to you and protect you. They'll flee from you. And then it says this, look, and God shall be dishonored among the Gentiles. That's what you're doing when you go back to your old ways because you want to go get another slice of who you used to be. It's like a dog turned into his vomit. And the devil shall make him as his own peculiar instrument. The moment you do that, the devil start playing you like a piano. And every wild beast shall master him. And the Lord shall hate him. Don't tell me nothing about God. Don't hate. This is a fake God that Christianity created for you, that you worship in the image of the Eurocentric Jesus that you think skips through daisies and plays violins. Most High will walk away from you because he does not like sin, so he don't like the sinner. Nobody ever told God loves the sinner. No, he doesn't. He don't want nothing to do with no parts of that. You got to come correct. For the commandments of the law are twofold, and through prudence they must be fulfilled. For there is a season for a man to embrace his wife and a season to abstain there for prayer. So then there are two commandments, and unless they be done in due order, they bring very great sin upon men. So also it is with the other commandments. Be ye therefore wise in God, my children, and prudent understanding, the order of his commandments and the laws of every word that the Lord made love you. And when he had charged them with many such words, he exhorted them that they should remove his bones to Abraham, not burning. And they should bury him with his fathers. And when he had eaten and drank with a happy heart, he covered his face and died. And his sons did according to all that Naphtali, their father, had commanded them. The vision is beautiful because not only did he see what was going to fall on all of Israel, but how he broke down the understanding of the necessity of keeping the laws and commandments in this hour and the benefit. Now he laid it out to them of what will bring you through. Through all of our captivities, there's been a very small remnant of people that were unscathed because they immersed themselves into the joy of keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments. I did a reading on the history of the Rechabites from the prophet Rechab, but the Rechabites were during the time of the priests of Zadok, I believe, and during the time of Jeremiah as well. But there was a group of Rechabites. They were so immersed into the statutes, laws, and commandments that their consecration outstripped the Essenes, who were very staunch about keeping the commandments. But there was a group of people that were even more locked into these laws than the Essenes, to the point where they were taken, hidden, and put in a place of protection and safety until the consummation of times and the return of the Son. And they act just like the 12 patriarchs. They know when they're going to leave, and they look forward to their time to go. But they fellowship with angels and blessings, and they don't conform. They don't allow their minds to think about sex and pleasures and covetousness. They come at their wives one time to reproduce, and then they stay away from them, and they go back into worship, prayer, and keeping the laws of what matters to them. And there's a blessed life in doing so. So what I'm saying is that we can glean from the 12 patriarchs, but what Naphtali is doing is that he turned around his name into a blessing, because we know what his name, that name Naphtali, meant. It was my pain through my sorrows and my struggles. And that's why Rachel gave her husband to her servant, and then she nursed the child until she was able to have a child. Nevertheless, I like the part, before I move on, we're going to get to the sixth trumpet thing. I really like the part about the blessings that come to you in keeping those statutes and laws that he broke down for his children. And that's what I wanted you to know, that even the animals, see, I don't know that animals have like this sixth sense where they can see things that children see. They can see in that spirit realm and that dimension. So when you know your connectivity to the Most High and to the heavens by being holy and Kodesh can be so powerful that people around you, which are some are demon-possessed, some are demons, reptilians, and Nephilim, and some just hate God to the core, they can sense you when you're around them, which is why you have so many troubles and problems in public places, and even animals are either drawn to you or want to attack you or something, because it's a spirit realm, and that's what Naphtali broke down at the beginning of the book. The spirit and soul take on the exact form of that human body. And let's not forget that God is watching at all times and listening. And it also says that God's going to reveal to you your recorded thoughts. So when you allow the thought to linger in your mind and you don't rebuke them and cast them down, then you align yourself up with that same thought. That's why I said if a man looks at a woman and lusts in his heart, he's already committed the act, you know, because you can hook up with a thought that you visually take in, and that thought will overtake you. So I know that this walk is a process of sanctification, but who are you going to give in to? If you're fasting, then you're trying to kill off the flesh. Fasting and praying, some spirits only come out through this. And I'm saying this even more so now. I've probably said every broadcast that these thoughts are not yours, most of them, because frequencies and the foods and the television, they are disseminating. You are like a conductor. You probably don't see it as a TV works or a radio works, but they work by picking up the frequencies that are being sent out through the airwaves. So pornography is in the airwaves. Murdering people and these snuff films that they say is on the dark web, no, that's in the air, and somebody's built a certain type of receiver to pick it up. Your mind can pick up the thoughts that are being transmitted through waves and frequencies in the air when you open your spirit to it. And what you need to understand is that 60 hertz frequency is a wave that demonic spirits like to ride on electromagnetic frequencies and waves, because like you're electric. When your spirit and soul leaves your body, immediately that flesh turns cold because it starts to die so that it can go back to the dust and dirt that it came from. But the real you, which gives off heat and illuminates a frequency, goes back to be with his Father as the angels sit there and wait to take you back into the seventh heaven to go before your God and be judged, because after death comes judgment. So these these frequencies are here, which is why I believe it was Shaul in the Bible said, think like this, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, meditate on these things. When it comes to that point right there, that's when I don't have a problem with meditation. Transcendental meditation to Eastern gods in these positions that worship them, yes, I do have a problem with it. But praying and then sitting back and being quiet and meditating on scripture, commandments, the Most High, the kingdom to come, these things will build your spirit and help you to take control of your mind. Don't allow a thought to come and make a nest in your brain. A bird can fly over and try to land, but you can swat him away and not let him build a nest and start to hatch eggs in your head, make you want to chase after the lust of your mind because you've concocted a pleasure that doesn't even exist. It's a lie from the pit of hell. So we have to overcome Satan. So I love the way Naftali breaks it down to his sons, and we should all be so blessed to be able to talk to our children this way, because provided the Most High doesn't come back, we'll all walk this path where we have to exit and give our final love and commands and goodbye. It's part of the life process. All right. Get you a copy of the 12 Patriarchs. I'm going to read out some more of that in the future, but that's it for today. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about where we potentially could be in Bible prophecy at this time. So let me keep it pushing right now. I want to have a discussion with you based on some scriptures about where we could potentially be in Bible prophecy. I know about a month ago we did a lesson where we talk about the four horsemen and the potential that the four horsemen have already set sail. and that we're in a time where there's three more horsemen left when we look in the book of Revelations in that prophecy. But today I want to look at the fact that if this be the time of the sixth trumpet that we're living in, I'm going to read a few scriptures to you, and then we'll close with another scripture in the book of Esdras that might be encouraging to you. All of this deals with the coming and the return of our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, in this world calls Jesus Christ, but confuses it with non-authentic, blue-eyed, Eurocentric, false, idolatrous depiction of a man with recessive genes. The Most High had nothing to do with that. It's not our Savior and our Messiah, and he's not even coming back with that effeminate spirit that they portray in those pictures. Such an insult. Let's go to Revelation 9, 18 through 21. By these three was the third part of men killed by fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents. We hear a lot about serpents now. And had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murderings, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And truly, we know that many of these type of sins, these sins are prevalent today in the society we live in. Peace has been removed. So that was prophecy in Revelations. Peace has been removed. So that's why we're seeing wholesale murdering. And you become desensitized because every show you watch, especially if it's urban center, somebody's getting offed, if not 10 or 20. It's causing us to be desensitized to murdering and shooting and killing people. People don't care about anybody's lives. When it talked about they won't repent from their sorceries, it's because now this world is more addicted to pharmaceutical designer drugs that are made as concoctions in a lab. And they're outstripping the drugs that come from plants, such as coca plant, heroin, and cocaine. They now prefer a hybrid, chemically induced high made from drugs like fentanyl. And there's so many other designer drugs I don't even know about. I can't tell you. But they make them from chemicals. This is witchcraft to desensitize the people, demon-possess the people, and lead them into more fornications, orgies, homosexuality, because they want inordinate affection once they're under the influence of a high that has opened them up to demonic possession. And when these demons come, these demons cause people to do the things that the demon, when it had flesh, could no longer do, and it lusts for, which may be gluttony, sex, getting high, murdering, killing. This is what people are manifesting, is the possession. And you don't understand it because you keep still thinking, based on Holly weird, Holly lies, magic, that a demon possession is somebody turning green and throwing up and head spinning three times. No, demon possession is even more subtle than the most peacefulest man sitting up doing some yoga. He getting demon possessed, opening up different chakras, trying to reach kundalini expressions where a spirit takes him over because he's opened up the final chakra and the pineal gland. Demon possession is very quiet and subtle, to the point now they're giving demon possessed people who say, I have anxiety, I got these problems. No, you got a demon, and I'm going to give you a pill to suppress the demon because I'm not going to cast him out. We're going to allow him to be comfortable inside of you. Give me 1 second. Let me grab the book of, I got the Apocrypha, but I want to grab, the book of Enoch. Book of Enoch 15 and 11. Evil spirits, okay, we started Enoch 15 and 8. And now the giants who are produced from the spirits and flesh shall be called evil spirits upon the earth. How are they produced from spirits and flesh? They are the children of the watchers, the angels that fell and took on the characteristics of men in order to have sex with the women. That's the flesh. That's what's called evil spirits on this earth. Verse 9, evil spirits have proceeded from their bodies because they are born from men. From the holy watchers is their beginning and primal origin. They shall be evil spirits on earth, and evil spirits shall they be called. For the spirits of heaven in heaven shall be their dwelling. But as for the spirits of the earth, which were born upon the earth, on the earth shall be their dwelling. So these demons are hovering around all the time trying to get inside you. And verse 11 says, and the spirits of the giants, what do? This is what they give you, pharmaceutical, which is pharmakia, which is sorcery. They give you medicines and why people are getting high. Over 2,000 people overdosed in San Francisco alone within the last year and a half. Because these spirits afflict people, they oppress people, they destroy, they attack, they do battle, they work destruction on the earth. They cause trouble, and they don't take any food, but nevertheless, they're hungry all the time. They're thirsty all the time, and they cause offenses, and these spirits shall rise up against the children of men and against the women because they have proceeded from heaven. But they're stuck here to afflict and torment you. And so the Most High says back in Revelation 9 and 21, the people will not repent of their murders, their sorceries, nor of their fornication. These spirits leave you by repenting and acknowledging that you've done wrong based upon the influence of the spirits. Let's go back up to 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands. So we see that a third of the earth, it got close to 8 billion people in the earth. So we're looking at about 2 point, if we talk about a third, we're saying at least 3 billion people will be killed by the plagues alone. See, you have to realize that this is Yochanan, our brother John, trying to interpret a vision of 2020 and describe all these things with a vernacular that has to do with his era of early AD. So he's catapulted over 2,000 years into the future, and he's trying to explain to you. And right now, all this mess is about poking somebody and sticking something in them as if they're really trying to help you. The Georgia Guidestones calls it the time of the calling. That they put on the Georgia Guidestones that they're going to reduce the population to only 500 million through a culling. And what is a culling? It is what you're seeing when you saw people in 2020 so scared and full of fear that they lined up for their own selective slaughter, for their own demise, to be tortured and put something in their body that they had no idea what they were putting into them. And they've been turned over to strong delusion, and they believe the lies through the media because they walked away from God and they did not want to believe the truth. And walking away from the truth and not allowing themselves to have faith, they put more confidence in man, the deceiver, and his sorcery. And so what you had going on and you still have going on is self-selective slaughter. And folks, you're never going to know the truth about all the bodies, all the people that have died because of this. I was affected myself. And there are many people who are dying because of this. I'm not going to get into a science lesson about how it works, but it's going to get worse. And they're going to try to keep covering it up about the people that are literally going about their daily lives and just dropping dead. You're not hearing about an increase of myocarditis in the non-vaccinated. You're hearing about it in the vaccinated. Heart issues and problems. Cancer's coming back. That's right. When he said the power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like serpents, he's trying to describe the needle.
And the head is the part of the syringe where the thumb pushes down. And with them, they do hurt. Could we be, as this book of Revelations right here is talking about, is talking about the sixth trumpet and leading to the seventh trumpet? That's the question I want to put out there to you. Because you got people who, some people know that this thing is injurious to other people. They're dying, but they're blocking it out. Like, I don't want to hear that. To the point it's causing a divide to those who love Yah and are trying to herald the truth. The ones who gave in are highly upset now at the ones who didn't give in, who were preaching Christ. So it's a spiritual hatred that they have for you having made the wiser decision. The question I'm putting out to you is, like, what time is it? Like the band used to say, what time are we really living in? Because seminary schools taught all these preachers the same thing, and these commentaries and these books were put out to throw people off from understanding the end times and not be able to actually know what time we're living in. They taught Revelations all upside down in the Christian church, backwards, looking for a rapture, lying, talking about Christ is coming back twice, once to steal people, then another time to come do everything that's talked about in the Bible. No, totally misunderstood the book. We allowed other people to take this book and reteach it to us and act like their God in our worship of them, which is why we're worshiping a Eurocentric Savior. We begin to hang on their words when this was our book given to our prophets to teach correctly. And we're taking that helm back. That's what we've been doing for the last, I'd say, 20 years as Judah led the charge. The Hebrew truth has been around real small and quietly, even on the plantations that we were Hebrews. Nat Turner found out and started his rebellion. But this last, big push, you'd see the cats in New York, Chicago, and Philly, West Coast last, preaching, teaching, telling people, YouTube, internet, because this is a big last-ditch effort as the Christian church and its lies and the Nation of Islam with Farrakhan's retirement is all coming down. And now it's time for the people to know what the truth is, not organized religions, and that Satan has disguised himself in this last day. So now the Most High, through the Holy Spirit, is teaching us Revelations, the book of Daniel, the book of Esdras. We're seeing the visions. Now it's all coming to pass. The book of Enoch that they really want to demonize and hide from us. No, the Most High is giving us all the precepts to put together to understand the times that we're living in. Let's go to the Apocrypha. Let's go to the book of Ezra. As a matter of fact, 2 Ezra, the 16th chapter. Then we'll close out with the 13th chapter, of course. Okay, 1 second. All right. 2 Ezra 16, 19th verse. Behold, famine. Well, let me start at 18. The beginning of sorrows and great mourning. The beginning of famine and great death, the beginning of wars, and the powers shall stand in fear. The beginning of evils, what shall I do when these evils shall come? I'm going to get into it, but before I get into it, I just want to say, newsflash, I don't normally talk about this on today, but there is news on other internet channels that says that Russia will be responding to that ship that was shot down last week with a nuclear bomb towards the West in NATO on Sunday. So that's been put out there that they're going to retaliate for that ship, that one ship they shot down. America's been throwing stones and hiding its hand and trying to say it's the Ukraine, but it's Nazis Ukraine, it's France, they're all involved. Russia knows that they are. So now they're getting ready to retaliate because they're tired of America, NATO, and the West sending over machines, artillery, weapons, and a lot of our military mercenaries are over there fighting with Ukraine against Russia. So the potential for there to be a nuclear threat, that's there for them all. But now let's get into what the Bible says. The beginning of sorrows and great mourning. So it's going to be a part. So not only a third dying from the sorceries, which is the shots and the pharmaceutical medicines and fentanyl, not only that, we got to have fire. There's going to be a famine. There's going to be war. That time is coming, people. Let's listen to Esdras, because this stuff gets really prophetic and powerful. Verse 19, behold, famine and plague, tribulation and anguish are sent as scourges for amendment. Verse 20, but for all these things they shall not turn from their wickedness, nor be always mindful of the scourges. This is coinciding with Revelations 9 and 21 that says, even in the midst of all this, people are still going to be sodomites, partying, claiming various genders, getting high. They are still not going to let go of their personal demons and repent. They're going to escalate more so to try and block out the truth of what's happening all around them. Verse 21, behold, victuals shall be so good and cheap upon the earth that they shall think themselves to be in good case, and even then shall evils grow upon earth, sore, famine, and great confusion. For many of them that dwell upon the earth shall perish of famine, and the other that escape the hunger shall the sword destroy. It's war and fighting. Verse 23, and the dead shall be cast out as dung, and there shall be no man to comfort them. For the earth shall be wasted, and the cities shall be cast down, coming to a city near you. When it said victuals shall be cheap, know that during 2020 and 21, not everybody went broke. Some of the rich got richer, and all of those in tech, they got richer. So what do? They party, look for new delicacies to eat. It's always a theme centered around food, whether it's a homosexual marriage, they get together, some festival. So always has something to do with the food. So with those that are still partying, they're going to find a way with their victuals to still celebrate, while many around the world will be starving because Russia's holding back the wheat grain, which is going to affect Africa. So this happened in Egypt with Joseph. When you start taking away the wheat, you think about the big processing plants that make the bread won't have the wheat to make the bread and all the other products that go into making that. And Russia's definitely getting ready to hold back everything because of the sanctions that the West put on them. That's just one incident. Bill Gates has bought up all the American farmland. And then outside of that, the farmland that does exist by others, it's mostly genetically modified organisms from the seeds of Monsanto that have no nutritional value because they put pig cells in there. And they put other genetic altering cells into the fruit and vegetables, all in the name of natural pesticides. There's not that many pests in the world that want to eat up the vegetables, but you modify it with all types of chemicals and pig juice. It's ridiculous. So we still won't have repentance while this is going on. Let's read some more 2 Ezra 6 chapter. For many of them that dwell upon earth shall perish of famine, and the other that escape the hunger shall the sword destroy. And the dead shall be cast out as dung. That many dead folks. And there shall be no man to comfort them, but the earth shall be wasted, and the cities shall be cast down. There shall be no man left to till the earth and to sow it. The trees shall give fruit, and who shall gather them? The grapes shall ripen, and who shall tread them? For all places shall be desolate of men, so that one man shall desire to see another and to hear his voice. For a city there shall be 10 left, and 2 of the field, which shall hide themselves in the thick groves and in the clefts of the rocks. As in an orchard of olives upon every tree, there are left 3 or 4 olives. Or as when a vineyard is gathered, there are left some clusters of them that diligently seek through the vineyard. Even so, in those days, there shall be 3 or 4 left by them that search their houses with the sword. So there's going to be, after this destruction comes, the Medes and the Russians and China, because of nuclear devastation, they'll be searching houses for those that are alive or dead and for any resources, because Babylon will be destroyed. That's what they're going for. There's a whole other batch of jabs that came over to Babylon, and they will not report to you because of the synagogue of Satan running the media. They will not tell you the truth of what's going on. They want you talking about what Hollywood celebrities are doing with their divorces, marriages, slapping each other. You're so distracted, and you're easily distracted because you love gossip. Verse 29. As in an orchard of olives upon every tree, there are left three or four olives, or as when a vineyard is gathered, there are left some clusters of them that diligently seek through the vineyard. Even so, in those days, there shall be three or four left by them that search their houses with the sword, and the earth shall be laid waste, and the fields thereof shall wax old in her ways. Two virgins shall mourn, having no bridegrooms. The women shall mourn, having no husbands. Their daughters shall mourn, having no helpers. In the wars shall their bridegrooms be destroyed, and their husbands shall perish of famine. Hear now these things and understand them, ye servants of the Lord. Behold the word of the Lord, receive it, believe not the gods of whom the Lord spake. Behold, the plagues draw nigh and are not slack. As when a woman with child in the ninth month bringeth forth her son within 2 or 3 hours of her birth, great pains come on woman, which pains when the child cometh forth, and they slack not for a moment. So when this thing hits and it happens, it's going to be sudden and it's not going to stop. That woman who's about to give birth, she could be in her ninth month. We know she's big, she's struggling, but when those pains hit, it's on and cracking. And that labor can go for 24 hours. Even so shall not the plagues be slack to come upon the earth. And the world shall mourn, and sorrow shall come upon it on every side. This is why you see a deluge of problems throughout the world. O my people, hear my word. Make you ready to the battle, and in those evils be even as pilgrims on the earth. Be ready to move like Lot and his family. The angel said, let's go. No time to pack and reflect. When you read the rest of the verses, 41 down, it's just more of a description of the people that shall be left and what they'll be doing, such as robbery will be around, people stealing people's possessions, being able to find a certain type of person. And for yet a little, and iniquity shall be taken away out of the earth, and righteousness shall reign among you. So let not the sinner say that he hath not sinned, for God shall burn coals of fire upon his head, which saith before the Lord God, in his glory I have not sinned. Behold, the Lord knoweth all the works of men, their imaginations, their hearts, which are spake, but the word, by the word, let the earth be made, and it was made. Now I want to skip to something that's probably a little more encouraging, but I want you to see what the atmosphere would be like. And I ask the question again, are we living in the time of the sixth trumpet? Let's talk about the return of Yeshua real quick. We'll close out at 2nd Ezra 13 and 29. Behold, the days come when the Most High will begin to deliver them that are upon the earth. This is the time that we're waiting for, so I want you to listen to this closely. 2nd Ezra 13, 29. This is the time when the Most High will begin to deliver them that are upon the earth. And he shall come to the astonishment of them that dwell on the earth. People will be shocked. Verse 31. And one shall undertake to fight against another, one city against another, one place against another, and one people against another, and one realm against another. And the time shall be when these things shall come to pass, and the signs shall happen, which I showed thee before, and then shall my son be declared. So what 32 and 31 is denoting is that there will be race wars, countries, a world war will be at battle with each other. We will be battling each other. Let me read 31 again. And one shall undertake to fight against another. That is personal battles and fights in the streets. One city against another. one place against another, and then one people against another, and then one realm, spiritual realm. We're dealing with that now, people. And he's saying that this will escalate right before the astonishment of the return of the Son of God. Verse 33, and when all the people hear his voice, every man shall in their own land leave the fighting they have against one another. When he cracks through the sky, ain't nobody going to be worried about taking up arms. It's going to be an old snap. Verse 34, and innumerable multitude shall be gathered together, as thou sawest them willing to come and to overcome him by fighting. But he shall stand upon the top of Mount Zion, and Zion shall come and shall be shown to all men, being prepared and builded like as thou sawest the hill graven without hands. And this, my son, shall rebuke the wicked inventions of those nations, which for their wicked life are fallen into the tempest. What does this say? When he returns, he will lay his feet upon Zion. The mountains will come together, and upon Mount Zion he will speak a word. And when he talks about the wicked inventions, it's talking about their antimatter weapons, direct energy weapons, their tanks, their ships, their helicopters, their planes, the stuff that they've created to destroy us that we don't even know about, these silent weapons. He knows, and he will destroy at that time upon Mount Zion of the innumerable number of people gathered. You're talking about Armageddon, the Megiddo, all the wars, assemble everyone together, and everything you thought would work against him will not work. You believe it or not, people, they know more about the second return of Christ than you know. And Satan has tried to give them technology to fight against the Most High, his angels. It's not so much against each other, because we could decimate each other with these nuclear weapons, what they did to Hiroshima in Japan. And we easily want to destroy this world, destroy each other. But the majority of this weaponry is to try and fight against the angels. This battle's been going on forever. When you think about Michael and his archangels kicking out Satan and a third of the angels, that was before the earth was formed. They was cast down here to an earth that was without form or void. It was void. These people have been doing battle with us ever since. When Daniel even asked in Daniel, the 10th chapter, when he was asking the Most High to answer a prayer, it took 21 days for the prayer, the answer to the prayer to get through, because the angel had to call for Michael, the chief archangel, to fight against the prince, the demon that protected and hovered over that city. He wouldn't let him get through. Brothers and sisters, the angels, the fallen angels, along with the third of the angels that came down with Satan, they're in the upper heavens where the International Space Station hovers, because no one gets past the firmament, constantly fighting, which is why the scripture tells you that Satan is the prince and power of the air. They're trapped in this realm with us. And then the rest of them are deep underground. Because this is the only thing, according, if you go back to 2 Ezra, the 16th chapter, there's another thing for these people that trip on this flat earth. You look at 16 and 58, it says, he hath shut the sea in the midst of the waters, and with his word hath he hanged the earth upon the waters. You know, that verse right there alone confirms Genesis, the first chapter. He didn't create in the beginning. God created the heavens, earth, Jupiter, Neptune, Mars. And no. Stars, sun and moon, come on the fourth day. This is a geocentric place that we live in, not heliocentric. That's what Satan would want you to believe, to get people to worship the sun and think we're revolving around the sun. No, the sun is revolving around this flat plane that the Most High created his creation on, and it sits upon waters, and the firmament on top of the firmament is waters. Who can know the mind of God? It's confirmed right there. That's why all will see him when he cracks open that firmament, the whole flat plain. They'll see. They're going to see this thing roll back. just like when the Red Sea was split, dry land, which has been scientifically proven, but they have to hide it and scrub it off the internet because they don't want people to know that they found chariot wheels at the bottom of the Red Sea. They found chariots and wheels and bones, all that stuff. Everything in the Bible has been proven, but they hide it from you. The Smithsonian Museums, everything. Everything that's in there has been proven, all the prophecies that have been fulfilled. And we're living in that time now, but I just want you to rejoice that when our Messiah comes back, he's shutting it all down with these weapons. And the fighting will cease, and we're looking at the fighting now. This is literal hatred for each other, each other's countries and governments and policies. And this wicked government that we're in is at war with its own citizens. Do you know if anybody touches those six Georgia Guidestones that are Satan's Ten Commandments, which is the plan for the destruction and great reset of this world? Do you know that taking that shot is an initiation into a Luciferian world to worship an antichrist and come into the beast system? Do you know that this great reset, they don't want any of us, Israelites, true believers and commandment keepers in that world, and they think they're going to win? Most High is getting ready to come and destroy some things, and this is how it's going to happen. Verse 37 says, "And this, my son, shall rebuke the wicked inventions of those nations, which for their wicked life are fallen into the tempest, and shall lay before them their evil thoughts, and the torments wherewith they shall begin to be tormented." I'm going to show you what you've been thinking about, and I'm about to show you what I'm about to do to you, which are like unto a flame. "And he shall destroy them without labor." Most High is not coming back to break a sweat. It's going to be by the law, which is also like unto fire. What does that mean? You're going to be judged according to the law. So every person that told you that the laws were done away with, they were literally trying to send you to hell, and they're going to have to give an account. And in that day, there will be no time to repent. Verse 39, "And whereas thou sawest that he gathered together another peaceable multitude unto him." All of this is going to take place so quick. This is what they want to call a rapture, but it's not. It's him gathering the peaceful. Verse 40 says, "Those are the 10 tribes which were carried away prisoners out of their own land in the time of Hoshea, the king of Salmanizer, the king of Assyria." That was our Assyrian captivity. "And we were led away captive, and he carried us over the waters, and so came they into another land to worship." That's another history lesson for another time, which is spoken of in this chapter that shows you the 10 tribes aren't lost, that they were carried away and scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. And so was it during this transatlantic slave trade with Judah, Levi, and Benjamin, when they went into the ships off the west coast of Africa and were scattered into the four corners of the earth. So that's a family reunion, a family gathering spoken of right there, the peaceful multitude. And we know we're going into the wilderness, going to purge out a few. This is also a window into the book of Jude. All of these things talk about the same time frame, but they're giving you a different perspective of what's going to happen. Jude tells us that when he cracks it open, you'll see 10,000s of the angels, which is millions, and 144,000, and then the gathering and protection of those who just came out of the grave that belong to Christ. We're gathered, and then there's other chapters that talk about the fact that some of us will fight. It's going to be Benjamin and Judah and Levi that will fight. They're the ones that are going to fight with Christ to clean up this earth. And the others will be gathered, as he says right here. But I still always rejoice that everything man is creating, his internet, all that stuff, that everything he thinks he has to surveil us, all of that's going to be destroyed by the word. So know the word, speak the word, live according to the word, keep the commandments, and wait for this time, because I ask the question, if this is the time of the sixth trumpet, the seventh trumpet is the final trumpet, and that's the call of Christ coming back and cracking open the sky. And we just read that within that sixth trumpet, Revelations 9, 18 and 21, and we see all those things happening right now. So it's closer than you think, brothers and sisters. Don't get distracted. And know that the little stuff that they're doing to make you think that they're on your side, on your team, Trump is on the same side. The right is on the same side as the left. They're sides of the same coin. They gave him they offered him a crappy deal, and he took it. So he's playing his role. They told him once this all the dust settles that you're going to get to be a prime minister over in this land, and you'll get this and you'll get that. Everybody's, this world is jockeying for positions in Satan's kingdom, and they'll do whatever they have to do to get it, because many will be eliminated. That's many that thirst for power and prestige and money and lust and destruction of the youth. They're jockeying for position. And what you watch on TV is theater. They're in on the same thing. I'm guilty of thinking I had the truth at one time, but I know there's a thing called controlled opposition that is created through cognizant dissonance. The media is playing with your emotions. And the controlled information, like talking about misinformation being out there when they're the ones putting the misinformation out there, because they want to control the so-called misinformation that you get so that they can control both sides of the spectrum, which leaves you stuck in limbo watching theater. You're in the movie theater eating popcorn, drinking soda, and don't realize what's really going on because you won't crack open this book, which is why I asked the question. Is this the time of the sixth trumpet? Are we fastly approaching the seventh trumpet? Are you ready? Are you repentant? Are you just getting relaxed? That's the question. All right, that's been my time. Be the preacher. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. Truth is a journey, not a destination. Kwam Yasha Allah Israel. Let's rise. Peace and blessings. Shabbat Shalom. Until next time.